Yeah, well, you're hoping that your quarterback can lead you down the field, but you better hope the wide receivers can catch the passes that hit him in the chest. So, especially with less than 5:30 to go, when you have two options, you have two chances to come win the game.
That was pretty funny, Andy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Kevin Stefanski's press conference is coming up, as young Jake just said, 12:30. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. Folks have had a lot to say today, and we appreciate that. 216-474-0092, the number to join us. We've summed it up, and early in the show you heard us talk about, I just think the play calling yesterday, you're going up against a bad run defense. Your team, passing-wise, is among the worst in the NFL statistically, yet you're throwing it the third most times in the NFL through 3 weeks, and that's with four teams still to play. But you're third in pass attempts, and yet you're not good at passing. And the Giants were not good at stopping the run. They were statistically, Andy, 29th, 28th in run defense, and yet you ran the ball 12 times with your running backs. Waverly is with us. Hello, Waverly.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
We are well, thank you.
Is this the Waverly Willis?
This is America's favorite barber.
That's right. Boss. Urban Cuts, baby.
Urban Cuts. Oh, man, I'm flattered.
Well, you just simple Google on you. We're good to go.
Oh, okay.
I know this name. I've heard this guy's name before, so I was very excited. Well, it's an honor to have you on the show. What do you got? Well, you do therapy every day when somebody sits in your chair.
Yeah, I do. And when the Browns lose, this week is going to be very trying emotionally on my barbers and I.
Just watch out for those ears.
Yeah,
we'll be
hang
all right.
On.
Yeah. But this is what I wanted to say. As an old player myself, I think the Browns need to get to the meat and potatoes. If I was Andrew Berry, I would stop concentrating on the sexy positions of football. I would have never paid 230 whatever million for Deshaun Watson. I would have went out and got the premier lineman, offensive and defensive, because that's the meat and potatoes of football. Now, of course, we got a good line, but the guys are hurt, so they're no good to us right now. It's not a whole lot of things that's guaranteed in life, but one thing is guaranteed: your O-line is going to get hurt. So that means it's next man up. I would have spent a lot of money on my first and my backups on the offensive and defensive line, because in my humble opinion, you can put a decent or just an okay quarterback behind a premier offensive line as well as a running back, and they will make them shine.
Remember, they did spend a lot of money on the defensive line. They brought in a lot of guys. They put a lot of draft assets in there too. Offensive right. line, I agree with you, Waverly. Maybe a little more investment, and I'll bet we see that this offseason.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, Waverly. Thank you.
Waverly, call anytime, please.
John, you're in Mentor. You can call anytime, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got like 3 points. Okay. When they talk about Jack Conklin, what a great player he is, how long has he been out, and when is he ever going to get back into the starting lineup?
Well, he got injured at practice the other day, so
messed up a hamstring.
It looked like he was coming back. I mean, the injury he took was pretty serious. I mean, these guys that have season-ending injuries aren't exactly like, oh, I wanted to have that season-ending injury. So,
and remember, it is medical science, and just because you get your ACL and MCL and everything else repaired doesn't mean it's 110% again. You know?
Yeah. Second point I wanted to talk about is running Elijah Moore with a jet sweep. That they've run it this year, and there's so many teams doing that on like 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, because everybody's packed in, and you get a speedster going outside, you can pick up that first down so easy. I think they did it with him once already this year sometime. I thought that would have been a good call, but I know it's Monday morning quarterback in there.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's kind of what we do here.
Yes.
I get that. Elijah Moore has been disappointing, and I hate to say that. He was a really interesting young player with the Jets and then fell out of favor there. And unfortunately, for now, we're seeing why he fell out of favor there. He's averaging 6.4 yards a reception. Andy, it's hard to average 6.4 yards a reception. Seriously, how do you only average 6.4 yards a reception?
You don't throw the ball downfield. I mean, that's
I get that.
You know, I get that.
But
I mean, when your longest pass of the day is the first pass and it's only 23 yards, I guess it should be what you've connected on. So that's a fair way.
Browns as a team averaging 8.2 yards a reception. Ken's in Medina. Kevin Stefanski coming right up. Ken, go.
Hey, got to make it quick because Kevin's coming up. I got three observations if I got time.
Go.
Number
good
one, I was at the opening game, Cowboys. I saw more Charlie Fry jerseys than Deshaun Watson jerseys. Number two, when Deshaun overthrew Cooper in, I think it was the third quarter, mm-hmm. which he had a lot of green in front of Cooper and could have made a touchdown, Deshaun kind of threw Cooper under the bus, I thought, when he was like waving that he should have been further downfield. Hmm. It gives me a little – I'm wondering, is the locker room falling apart when they're starting to blame each other on the field in front of the fans and in front of America? Number three, the botched handoff to Ford. The very first replay showed that Deshaun put that ball in his shoulder pads, not in his gut. So I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
Ken, thank you. Deshaun was asked about that after the game, and he didn't take blame, didn't place blame, but it didn't go well, and he didn't have much to say about it, Andy.
Big players make big plays at the end of the game, and there were plenty of opportunities for everybody out on that field yesterday inside of 5.5 minutes. And they did not come through, and that's all there is to it. It doesn't. We could sit here and say
you had it three times,
yeah,
to go get a touchdown, and you've got a highly paid offense, and it failed three
but
times.
You had a piecemealed offensive line.
I get that.
Guys playing out of position.
I get
guys,
that.
You know,
except they scored earlier.
Before you mean earlier in the fourth? That's your saying.
Yeah.
Yep. You're right. No, you're right.
I mean, they did it once. Jeff in Strongsville. Jeff, Kevin's coming up. You go. You got about 30 seconds, probably.
No problem. You gave the keys to the castle to somebody that didn't deserve it. Cooper, after he caught that first touchdown, if you watched his body language when he came off the field, never smiled once. He's telling you that he doesn't agree with what's going on the field. Cooper's earned the right to be a leader on this team, and yet you're paying somebody else. And you're expecting somebody else to be that leader in Deshaun Watson, and he just can't do it. And the team knows it. This is systemic, and it's only going to continue.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. One thing about it, any quarterback is almost always the leader. I don't know if you're trying to manufacture more of that because you're paying the guy and you gave up so much to get him. But that's just the way it goes. I mean, Kirk Cousins just showed up in Atlanta. He's the leader of that team. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the way this thing goes. Quarterback is the leader,
or
one of the key leaders. Let's put it that way.
I just Jameis Winston seems to be coming off as a leader on this team. I can say that. And I've heard that numerous times. And if you watch before the game, where he's getting the guys fired up, and you know, I don't know, if Deshaun goes out there, completes passes, and wins games, that's the kind of leader I think. At the end of the day, you can't argue with. But when you're losing. And you don't feel like the true leader of the team is the quarterback. And I don't know. I can't speak for the players on this field. I do know that Jameis Winston has impressed a lot of people. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
That's what I've heard.
Kevin Stefanski coming up. Lewis and Shaker. Lewis, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Lewis.
Real quick. You knew that they had the 28th and 29th worst run defense, and you chose to run the ball 12 times?
To your running backs.
And you're an Ivy Leaguer? Y'all can blame Deshaun all you want to. There's your problem right there. 28th, 29th, you didn't run the ball, and I'm not talking about with Ford either.
Foreman had two carries yesterday, Lewis.
I think Deshaun knew he could run the ball against them, too. I mean, he did have a couple nice runs.
They were 28th in the NFL, allowing 163 yards per game on the ground.
Well, we just helped out their numbers.
We helped improve those.
Yeah.
Yep, that's kind of the way that one went, isn't it? Wyatt Teller, knee, out multiple weeks, candidate for the IR. Miles Garrett, day-to-day, had an MRI, dealing with stuff that we're not going to tell you about.
Wait, don't we know it's his feet?
Well, it was.
I wonder if it's more than that then.
He said yesterday that it was more.
Right.
So we don't know what it is. If Miles is day-to-day, shut him down and get him healthy and get him back out there when he's healthy.
Yeah, I didn't realize he's only missed one game since he joined the team. One.
What did you think? Kevin told us a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured. I don't know, Kevin's...
He was really guarded in his comments. And he's usually guarded, more guarded than usual, I thought.
Yeah, today he was more guarded.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's frustrated. He's mad. He knows the whole city is upset at the way they played yesterday. I'm sure there's no one... I mean, I hate to say this, but if you're Kevin, you're probably just as, if not more upset than anybody else that could pick up the phone and call us today.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's his job on the line, right? And... things just aren't working well. So I don't blame him for being guarded, but by the same token, I think you got to be realistic in some of the things. And there are some things you maybe could say, you know, we're hoping for the best on this. And, you know, we put a guy, I don't know. You make it easier when you say, well, if he's out multiple weeks, then he's a candidate for the IR.
In other words, just go ahead and cough it up, not have to be asked about it.
Yeah, in some ways. I mean, I don't know. If I were him, I would be guarded today too.
Yeah, I understand that. It's, you know, the offensive line situation is just something you're going to have to deal with. You have injuries.
You can't.
Now you have more injuries. I mean, think about it, Andy. Your tackles were the problem. Now your Pro Bowl right guard's a problem. He's out multiple weeks. And so he's out. You still don't know who's going to be playing tackle. That means 40% of your offensive line is in place where it's supposed to be right now. And that 40% would be Joel Bitonio and Ethan Posick. You're still not sure what's going to happen at tackle, whether it's Jack Conklin coming back at right, which we hope, whether it's Jed going to be healthy enough to play left. What's DeJuan Jones do?
Hey, just want to remind you, the segment is brought to you by Extend Technologies. Check them out at extendav.com. That's extendav.com, the letters AV, obviously. .com today for the latest and greatest in home electronic solutions.
Greg is in Lorain. Greg, welcome. Greg, you with us?
Hey, Greg.
Greg, I'm putting you back on hold because I'm a nice guy.
You are, man.
Lee is in Bedford. Hello, Lee.
Hello, Lee.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
And to
long
you.
Long time no talk to you.
Yeah, good always to have you with us.
Where do I start? Why do we keep having those press conferences? You could take a press conference from his first year to today, and he's saying the same thing.
He said, less today, Lee.
Yeah, this is probably one of his least
informative.
But you hear those, we got to get better. I got to do better. We keep hearing that. When are you going to get better? Like somebody said, when he's going to call three or four games in a row, perfect play calling, put everybody in the right positions. If this is your fifth year, you don't know what kind of identity you have as a team. What are you waiting for, another 5 years to find it? Come on, you play coach of the year two times, and you're looking like this? Like this is your first year? No adjustments during the game. Third and one. Why did you bring Benson in here? Wasn't he supposed to be the new Kareem Hunt to get you that 1 yard? You don't even run it.
You mean who, Deontay Foreman?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Foreman.
That's okay.
You don't even run it. You don't even put him in the game.
I kind of thought the same thing, Lee. You brought in a guy who's like 6'2", 235 pounds.
Exactly.
Give him the ball.
Now, you pay Denzel Ward top money to be your shutdown corner. Third reverse play, he's matched up against Neighbors all game long. There's no left or right. What is that? If Neighbors go to the right, Denzel goes to the right. That's football. You put your best against their best. If Watson is getting smashed, how about running the ball? How about getting the ball out quicker? A screen pass, a wide receiver screen, anything.
Saw some of that late, but it was late.
Right, it was too late.
Yeah,
you don't make adjustments in the first quarter when you see things happening. Come on.
Very logical phone call, Lee. Very logical.
Good to have you with us,
Lee.
Thank
you, Lee.
Mike is in Mentor, home of the Cardinals.
Home of the Cardinals, that's right. Once a card, always a card.
There you go.
Yeah, I want to jump on the back of the guy that just said, how many weeks in a row are we going to listen to Stefanski say, we need to get better, or we need to get better and we will get better? And every week we're getting worse. You said, oh, guys, it's only three games out of the year. That's three. I mean, this is the easy part of our schedule. If we don't win now, when are we going to win?
It's the NFL. You never know, Mike, unfortunately.
I mean, Dallas proved that to us in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Very true. But if we don't beat these teams, who are we going to be? We got two games, interdivision games, that are all going to be tough. I mean, Pittsburgh's showing that they can win with no touchdowns. It's just,
that's kind of true.
You know, I mean, if we can't score, that we can't win. Our offense looks pathetic. Deshaun can't even hand the ball off. I mean, that ball, I heard a caller earlier say something about him putting it in his chest. If you look at after the play and Ford goes to the sideline and he's showing that he put his hands up where he's supposed to receive a handoff and Deshaun put it right in his chest. That's 100% on Deshaun, you know. If you know, going back to the three wins or the three games out of 17, that's what, like 17% of the season. Think about a baseball season. If you're playing, that's about 30 games out of the 162. If you're 10-20, it's only 30 games. Think about how much that one game matters. Do you think the Detroit Tigers and the Minnesota Twins are wishing they would have won one or two games earlier in the season?
I agree with that. I think about that stuff all the time. I agree with that.
Mike, thank you. Look, I know everybody's mad about the way they played. Everybody should be. They didn't play well against a team that was, you know, more than primed to get smoked yesterday. That didn't happen. It is three games. Now, there are huge issues. We've talked about them. Things that, you know, we didn't like and everything else. Just there is a little perspective that has to be maintained here, I think, Andy. I mean, it's three games. They're not playing well.
So
they can, you win two or three in a row, boom, all of a sudden everything's back and you're right where you want to be. But I thought they let a great opportunity get away from them yesterday. I didn't expect them to beat Dallas, to be honest, in the home opener. I expected them to beat the Giants. I thought they'd beat Jacksonville. I thought they played a terrible game yesterday. The play calling wasn't good. Quarterback play wasn't good. Line play wasn't good. Other than Amari Cooper, wide receivers weren't good, and defense was okay. Well, that's not good enough.
Here's my deep thought perspective on this. I mean, you're basically looking at, if you want to put Nick Chubb in there, you're more than welcome to, 5 out of your 11 starters on offense are either hurt, out, or injured. So you're talking, and if you're wondering why the offense is a mess, that might be
that's
a
part
decent.
Of it.
I agree.
You
didn't I don't
have
think
David
it's the
Njoku.
End, yeah. I agree. I don't think that's the end all be all on it. But I do think that if you're, and I'm just I'm going to take Kevin's side on this for his frustration today, because a lot of the things that are not working are out of his control. You can't control whether a player's injured or not, and I'm not blaming this on injury because we all know football is about next man up, and the coaches will say that, the players will say that, everyone will say that, but there's a reality to it. You can say next man up. Did I say this man up?
Footman. Footman. I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
I like that.
You know, it's just the whole next man up mentality. It sounds good coming out of your mouth, but when you have to make it into reality, it's not as simple as you think.